Great to fellowship with you. Great to fellowship before the throne of grace. Great to praise this name together. This morning we step forward in a bit of transition at True Life Church. Now, I know that might seem rather obvious here this morning, because it's readily apparent to anyone familiar with True Life Church that there are many new Christ followers that are worshiping and fellowshipping with us today. And I know for those that are here for the first time, it was your desire to kind of just blend in. But this environment, it's a little hard to just blend in when several of you walk in the door. And so let me just start by saying we're delighted to have you here. We welcome you. We all welcome you with the open arms of Jesus. And we trust that this can be a place where you feel encouraged, you feel safe, you feel like you can worship the Lord, that you can learn truth, and that you will be cared for by the body of Jesus Christ as they do battle for you at the throne of grace by lifting you up before the Lord and praying for those things that you have need in your life as we come alongside together. And I want to say to my dad, who also listens to my sermons every week, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. I've been wanting to say that for decades. Love you, Dad. You're awesome. So as I prepared for the morning message, a message of ministry transition, I sat in my office this week contemplating this day. And as I worked, I asked myself, what does a pastor say to people on a day like today? As we fellowship together in somewhat of a day of transition here. And as I thought about today, I thought, you know, there are many things about this morning that look and feel the same. I left my house this morning. It was dark. It was cold. To come to church in anticipation of fellowshipping with other Christ followers to exalt and to praise the name of Jesus. I knew that I would find here a gathering of people together who love Jesus and seek to honor his name and to praise his name. I knew I would be gathering together with people who have faithful servants' hearts, who want to use their skills and their abilities and their talents in such a way that it glorifies God and it builds up the body of Jesus Christ. I knew I'd be joining together with a group of people today that love souls and are concerned about those beyond the walls of the church that need Jesus. So I knew all of those things would be the same, even as we gather together from different parts and different portions of the community. Yet there's something that feels different this morning, like the people around me aren't all the same people that I fellowshipped with last week. And greeting time took a bit longer this morning. And that the pulpit is different. And we have more chairs in the sanctuary and people in them. And other parts of the service may have seemed a bit different as well. But it's all good. It's all good stuff. And it's all because God chooses to work in the lives of individuals, and he chooses to bring into our world those things that we need to remain strong and to be courageous and to walk well with God. That's why God has given us the body of Jesus Christ. That is why he has given us spiritual gifts to minister to each other with. For you and for me, or I should say for me and maybe you, you've been praying, anticipating this day for several days or maybe even several weeks. This day is a day which presents to us new fellowship opportunities, a day to begin to explore new opportunities of ministry together, and the joy of embracing new one another's in the body of Christ. As I was asking God's blessing on this transition, God kept bringing something back to my mind. And it didn't seem to matter whether I was asking him during a time of study in my office, or I was laying on my bed at night, or driving down the street. As I prayed for this day of transition and how God was going to work it all out, the thing that kept coming to mind was Christian community. What a sweet, sweet thing Christian community is. What a fellowship divine that we experience with each other when we come together to celebrate the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to come together as we encourage one another in the Lord, as the brotherhood, the sisterhood of being part of the body of Christ in a place of worship, in a place of safety, in a place of spiritual growth and service to the Lord with one another. As I thought back over the past 3 months or so of the journey that Pastor Steve and I have had, as we prayed separately about what God would be directing where God would be directing things to go. And we were both somewhat amazed and pleased that God brought our hearts and spirits to unity with each other. Pastor Steve and myself, at the prompting of our Lord, believe God had called us to come together under one roof, under one place, and that He, God, is the head of the church, the universal church, and as well the local church, and that God was giving us opportunity to enter into new Christ-centered relationships. And in those new Christ-centered relationships, that we would be able to dream together and work together for the future of new Christ-centered ministries as we as a church seek to grow together and serve our community together and do our part in reaching the world together. And so again, I asked myself, okay, God, what does a pastor say to a congregation on a day like today? Well, quite frankly, I'm still not sure. This is unique, uncharted territory for me, for Pastor Steve, and for all of you. So with that being the case, I guess I would just like to share with you some thoughts that God gelled together in my mind that helped me to see that regardless of whether we are here from good or bad circumstances, that God is the one who has knitted this thing together. And the gathering of the saints in this place today is not an accident. The knitting together of the saints here today is by divine appointment, because God has a plan. In his sovereignty, He knew what this day would be. In His sovereignty, He said, I am going to bring this group of people together because I have intention and purpose for them as they serve My kingdom together. There will be a blending of ministry skills and a blending of ministry talents and a blending of spiritual gifts that will come together within the walls of this church that make us able to better serve the kingdom of God together than apart. Amen. And so I come to this day with a day of joy and recognition that I don't have a clue as to what God is going to do. And that is why I'm glad that He is the head of the church and that He is the one who is going to guide us and direct us and give us the marching orders and tell us how to move, when to move, and what to do. Today is a divine appointment. As I considered this beautiful moment, several thoughts passed through my mind, and many of them weren't particularly profound, as some of you might know. But all of them were really encouraging, and I think they're relevant here today. One thought was this. One of the great things about worshiping Jesus with other people who love Jesus is where Jesus is Lord, there are no strangers. We are all family at the cross. And that just really settled in my heart this week. We have met here this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, who name the name of Jesus, lifting up their voices in unison. And not only in unison, but in unity. To celebrate the name of our Lord and Savior. And as we celebrated the Lord today, I was touched with the thought that none of us comes here as strangers to God. And each of us come into God's cathedral here, figuratively speaking, together in one spirit and one mind and one heart. We are bound together in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are bound together in the love, mercy, and grace of Jesus. We are bound together through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we are bound together with a commission and a call to serve Him, our blessed Redeemer. And as I sat in my study and asked God for wisdom, I thought about us together lifting our voices in one accord to praise the name of God. And in my mind's eye, the image that came to my mind was that as we lift up the name of Jesus together in unity and in unison, God smiles. Now, think about that for a moment. As we gather together here this morning, and in unison and unity, we may not even know each other by name yet, but as we came together and we celebrated our blessed Redeemer, our wonderful Savior, our great God and Lord, that while we were doing that, you know what was happening in heaven? God smiled. God smiled. Now think about how significant that is, that we as finite, sinful, stumbling people can gather together in a place like that. And when we sing and we celebrate the praise of God in unison and unity, God smiles and He delights and He enjoys what took place. One of the shortest chapters in the Bible comes from Psalm 133 on the front of your bulletin there. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon coming together upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. And so as we gather together in unity here today, God says how good and how pleasant that is. Now that's not the opinion of man. That's the opinion of God. And God said that what transpired here this morning, that's pleasing to me. Unity in the worship of God makes God smile. Unity in the worship of God is good for our souls. I mean, as we were blessing God and we were celebrating Him, we almost got confused. We thought the praise was for us because it caused our hearts to become more and more joyful as we recognized His promise and truth and our submission to Him. And so there's this great paradox that takes place. That as we give praise to God, as we give glory to Him, as He enjoys what we give to Him, you know what He does? He gives right back to us. And He strengthens our heart, and He enlightens our heart, and He encourages our heart. And it just becomes this reciprocal thing. As we praise, He gives. As we give, He basks in that. Psalms 23 says in the New American Standard Version, yet you, God, are holy, O God, who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In the King James Version, it says it this way, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praise of Israel. God inhabited the praises of Israel. I think that is likely a transferable concept to the New Testament church. And when it talks about the term inhabit here, it's a term, a Hebrew term, that was used more than 1,100 times in the Old Testament. And literally the term inhabit or enthroned means to dwell in or to sit down in. So you might look at it, that thou art holy and thou sits down in the praise of Israel. Now, I don't want to be sacrilege in this image that I give to you, but I remember there's been some times in my life when I'm just like at wit's end, you know, life has been hard and difficult, and I go somewhere and there's a hot tub, and you just kind of put yourself in the hot tub and you go, whew, that feels good. That's great. God inhabits our praise. He sits down on. And God says, oh, that feels good. That feels great to hear my children celebrating me, worshiping me, lifting me up. God delights. He sits in, he dwells in our praise. So as we bathe God with our prayers of dependency and worship of him, as we make our boast in the Lord through his spoken word and singing, and as we draw close to God with surrendered hearts, what happens with all of this is we deliver happiness and joy to the heart of God. Now, I can't think of any greater thing to do on any Sunday morning than to be in a place where we can deliver praise and honor and glory to God. I don't know why anybody would stay home from this. Amen. To be able to come together and delight the heart of God. What a privilege it is of ours to honor the sovereign Lord in that way. God receives our worship. A second part of my thinking is, what does a pastor say to an assembly of believers on a day like today? Is there's another great thing about worshiping Jesus with other people who love Jesus. And that is, where Jesus is Lord, there is a love for the Word of God. In this world, there are lots of opinions out there. There's lots of opinions about life, what will make one wise, what will make one smart, what will make one wealthy, what will make one happy. However, what we have discovered is there is really only one source of absolute truth. And in that absolute truth, we are gaining a deeper understanding of our Christian faith and a greater understanding of who God is and how we can relate with him. And in that source of truth, God inspires us to walk a certain pathway as we develop a deeper and deeper meaningful relationship with the Lord. When we gather together, we are sharing that common belief that God is Lord and that his word is truth, and that we share a common desire to live under the authority of God's truth. We agree together with the words of the psalmist, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where Jesus is loved, the Word of God is honored, and the Word of God is held in high esteem. The third part of my thinking was this. Another great thing about worshiping Jesus with other people who love Jesus, where Jesus is Lord, is that his people will use their spiritual gifts to minister, to serve each other for the common good. That we have relationship with each other in a very special way. As a matter of fact, God in his sovereignty created the body of Jesus Christ to be interdependent. Because God created us that way, he has given us spiritual gifts with the express purpose of exercising those gifts for the common good. As I thought about that, I asked myself in relationship to this concept of service, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? The servant of all, right? Mark 9:35. Who would you say is the greatest servant of all? Well, that was easy. I concluded it was Jesus. He had given up everything to serve us. He made us whole in salvation. He set us free. He redeemed us. He reconciled us to God. And he offered us not only a salvation, but in that salvation, he has offered us a means of sanctification by giving his word and the indwelling Holy Spirit as our teacher. And so, where is Jesus now? Seated at the right hand of the Father. The greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. Jesus was the greatest servant. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He himself, this Jesus, this servant Jesus, is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. We celebrate him as the head of the church. And the way that we celebrate him as the head of the church is by extending his love into our very own households, by extending his love into the body of Christ, and by extending his love beyond the walls of the church into the community in which we live and beyond. So some great things about worshiping Jesus is that where Jesus is Lord and we are together not as strangers, but as family at the cross. We're bringing a smile to Jesus. Under the authority of God's word, and Pat, you can go to the next one. Under the authority of God's word, let us pursue that deeper walk with God. To use spiritual gifts to care for one another. And I'd like to just take a moment here to pray and ask God to help us to accomplish these things. And then I have one more thing that I'd like to do before we go to the communion time. But if you would join your heart with mine and before I do, I just want to confess to you that Pastor Steve and myself, as we journey through this type of ministry, the reality is we're novice at it. We really are in terms of what God is doing. Therefore, we are working hard at seeking God, depending on him as we desire to embrace one another in the Lord. We are anxious to hear the whisper of God in our ear so that we might be in the best place to lead, to worship, to guide, and to serve together at True Life Church. So my confession is this. I am ignorant of how the experts say things should be done in this type of church transition. I am ignorant of what the professionals would advise to guarantee success in this type of transition. I'm not smart enough to foresee where all the invisible lines might be or where all the challenges might lie in a transition as we move forward together. But I am really excited to report it is Jesus and not me that is head of the church. And as we depend upon him, he will guide our path and he'll direct our footsteps. And we will get to the places he wants us to be at the right time because he is going to be the one that is leading us in the footsteps that we take. So let's pray. Lord, you are so very, very good to us. And even in the time of blessing and in the time of difficulty, you do not cease or give up your throne. There may be those who come against what you want to do, but we are reminded that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I want to just celebrate you here today, Lord, because we are victims of your leadership and we rejoice in it. We are so, so glad that you love us. We are so, so glad that you have a plan. We are so glad, Lord, that you make evident to us the pathway that you want us to take. And so, Lord, I want to commit this church and this congregation to you. That as we gather together here this morning, we do so with one voice and in unison and in unity. That it is our desire to glorify you above everything else. That it is our desire to be pleasing in your sight. That it is our desire to make a difference in those places that you will call us to make a difference in the lives of people. And so, Lord, we open our hearts. We open our will. We surrender to you. And we look forward to the steps that you're going to take us on in the future here. And so, Lord, to you be the honor and glory, and might it all be to your praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's go to that next slide, Pat. You saw this slide as you came in this morning, and you might think, what does some of that stuff mean up there? And this slide has really been developed as a result of kind of a DNA strand that God interwove in the life of True Life Church here. And I think it's important for us to begin a little bit of discussion about that. And so before communion, I just going to just kind of touch on this, and then at a later date we'll come back to it. But I want to give it a chance to kind of gel and settle into your mind as you think about it. And you may have noticed the slide in the beginning, and you notice a couple sayings connected by a preposition there, and that each of these sayings has a definition below it. These two sayings with the preposition of in the middle define one of the most basic attributes that we strive for as a church. Make it real to make a difference. Make it real to make a difference. Now, I know some of you are here for the first time. Don't let that intimidate you. You're family. And I'd like for you to speak into a conversation today, because I want to change my message from a monologue right now to a dialogue with you. When you look at those words, make it real to make a difference, what do you think that means? Or what does it mean to you? I'm not looking for a right or wrong answer in this. I'm asking you that as you read that, how does that come across to you in those sub-points under it? What do you think that means? And I'm just going to open it up. Just slip your hand up and like to hear what you have to say. And I'm okay with a holy silence if that's what we get out of that. I'm pretty comfortable with that. So because I know you're thinking about it if we're silent, and that's the point of this exercise, is to get you to interact with it. But some of the others around here may be interested in hearing what other thoughts are out there. So what do you think that might mean? Make it real to make a difference. Connie? Good.
This is my thinking.
Good thinking. Thank you. Anybody else? And talk loud so we can hear you in the whole room. John's holding the microphone up, but I think I'll let you just shout it out. Marge?
Having lived with this for quite some time, I would say that making it real means that there's love in this church. And because you can't do those things without loving. And I have been not only given people to love, but I've had them to be there with me, and that has made the difference, that love.
Okay, thank you. Other thoughts? Make it real to make a difference. Talk loud so they all can hear you.
Mm-hmm. With how wonderful he is to us, and to be blessed, and to have that blessing go out to others so that they can have a reason to even look at Jesus if they don't know him.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Susan?
To me, it draws you to Christ.
Loud, Susan.
To me, it draws you to Christ. Because the reality is God's truth. He's the only one that knows the full truth. Mm-hmm. And so to make it real means that you are not seeking deception. Mm-hmm. That you're seeking what is real and what is true. And when you come to Christ, that's where everything is.
Right.
The difference is only in Christ. Mm-hmm. So,
good.
That's it.
Okay. Crystal?
To me, it is just being your truest, most authentic self in order to impact other imperfect beings. And I think, you know, that's something that I strive for here and as I go about my life, just being my most authentic self, because it's our most humble self, mm-hmm. which God can work.
Good. Dylan?
I kind of think about how you can flip it, that if you want to make a difference, then make it real. Or if you want to make a difference, so make it real.
Right, right.
Sincerity, mm-hmm. like just how sincerity changes things. Less smiling, but sincerity can mean a lot more, means a lot more than if someone gives you a gift in sincerity.
Mm-hmm. I think you hit on the essence of what I think about in regard to it is you can flip that around. If you want to make a difference, it has to be real, right? And so when we look at this little saying here, make it real to make a difference, Jesus has to begin in us. His Spirit has to be powerful in us. We must be in intimacy with the Lord if we are going to make a difference by sharing the Lord with others. I had a college professor who used to say this. He said, you cannot take anybody deeper into the well than you have been yourself. Right? And so if your experience with God is a facade, then you can only take other people into a facade with God, right? And so what we begin with in making it real, that's the me statement. This is where I must live my life, to do the right thing for the right reason with the right heart. And as I develop that personal relationship with Christ, and as He permeates my life, as His Spirit leads me and guides me, it is only then that I am in the place to make a difference. Now, for instance, let's say I want Jesus to be ruler of my home, king of my home, lord of my home. Can I do that unless Jesus is lord of my life? King of my life? No, it starts with me, right? I can only influence my home to be Christ-centered because I'm Christ-centered. And so we need to work hard at that first element of making it real within us if we want to have something legitimate to share with the people beyond us. And so if I want Jesus to be Lord of my home, now there's lots of programs out there that say, hey, do this as a dad, do this as a mom, you know, and programs and ways in which they say you can do that. But ultimately, doesn't it start that the only way that Jesus becomes Lord of a home is because Jesus is Lord in the heart of the people in the home? See? So it begins with us. We need to make it real with God if we want to make a difference for Him in our home. And Jesus, if we want Him to make a difference in our church, then Jesus must be Lord of our life and Lord of our home, because we bring that over into the church. And if we want to reach the world, the community with Jesus Christ, then we, in our intimacy with Christ, impact our home for Jesus, and our home impacts the church for Jesus, and then the church impacts the world for Jesus. So if we want to make a difference at home, at the church, and in the world, then it starts with us making it real in how we live our lives. And the legitimacy of Christ's fullness within us. Because the idea is, before, or I guess really the heart statement to all of this is that God must first work in us before God can work through us. God must work in us before he can work through us. So as we come to the communion table today, we are told to examine ourselves in regard to our own walk with God. And so a couple things are taking place here today. First of all, there is a statement of unity that we're making. We proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. And all of us who choose to partake here today, we're saying we're on that ship. We're going that direction. That's what we believe, and that's the common bond that has drawn us together as the body of Christ here today. So we're making that statement by partaking of the Lord's table here today. And that's why I thought it was important for us to do this today together, because we're kind of sealing our bond with one another in terms of our identity in Jesus Christ and the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and the redemption of Christ and so on. So that's important. But also there's that element that I'm going to ask you to partake in, and that's as the elements are distributed, that you would spend some time in thoughtful contemplation. Here's the question I want you to ask yourself today. Do I have a healthy walk with Jesus? Do I have a healthy walk with Jesus? And it's not spiritual pride to say, yes, I do. It's okay to say, Lord, I think I'm right there with you. And thank you, Lord, for giving me that strength and giving me that peace today. I feel like we're right on and we're going the right direction. I want to give you the honor and glory. That's a good thing to say to God if it's true. But there might be something there that you know is a little bit amiss in relationship to what you know to be God's will for you. Something maybe that you've been resisting, something that you've may been hem-hawing on with God. And this is just a good time to say, God, I'm doing a health check on my walk with you today, and want to have a little conversation with you about that. And Lord, show me if there's something that I need to be doing differently than I'm currently doing in my life. Because when all is said and done, when I put my head down on the pillow at night, I desire to be able to say, today I glorified the Lord. I made it real with him. And as a result, I'm in a place now that I can make a difference in my home and in my church and in my community. So I'm going to ask the guys and the musicians to come and give you a chance to just contemplate and think about your walk with Jesus. I want to just read this portion of scripture in our preparation for this. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. And so this is a corporate moment of together confessing our unity in Jesus, but it is also an individual moment, an individual personal responsibility moment, as you just do your spirit check with the Lord. Is my walk with him healthy? Tyler, I'm going to ask you to return thanks for the body of our Savior, please.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for sending your Son to save us and giving that opportunity to spend eternity with you. And please help us reflect and to just look at ourselves and see if there is ways we can better our walk with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As the elements are distributed, just take it and hold on to it, and then we'll partake together. Savior said, this body, which is for you, do this in remembrance of me. Jack, would you return thanks for the blood of our Savior, please?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you, seeing the future, prepared in advance for us Savior. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came and shed his blood for our salvation. We thank you for the understanding that you've given each one of us and for the work that you're accomplishing in us. We thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus. We ask for God that you'll bless us now. Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
So awesome to be loved by God, to be cared for by Him, to know that He has rescued us, that He has redeemed us. Let this be done to the honor and glory of our Lord. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So what I'd like you to do is stand. And before you leave here, we're going to have potlucks. Don't leave. What I'd like for you to do is find at least three people that you're not sitting with and tell them that you were glad that they were here today to worship Jesus with you. All right? Lord, we thank you. We're glad that we have opportunity to gather together in the name of our Savior. And as we partake of the food that has been provided, we want to thank you for it. We ask that you bless it to the strength of our body. We're grateful for its provision, for its manifestation of your love for us. I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for the opportunity we've had to worship you together this day. And we look forward to many days ahead in which we can do this again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You might want to sit down.